On the show, we've got Larry Nolan with VersaFlex. Larry, thank you so much for showing up today. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Now, I know some folks out there listening are thinking, VersaFlex, what is that exactly? And you came up with this great idea. I mean, masks are commonplace anymore, and well, we certainly hope that if you're in Lorain County, you're wearing one right now, because if you're not, well, you're violating the law for the time being. So you came up with a wonderful idea, and anytime I'm out shopping, especially this time of the year, sun's always out, I've got my sunglasses on, and a lot of times, if I don't take the sunglasses off right away or take the mask off right away, I mean, my sunglasses are just full of fog, and they're all steamed up, and I think, doggone it, I wish I had a mask that just wouldn't fog up my sunglasses. You've come up with a mask that does exactly that. So how does it work?
Well, basically, how it started was my sister works at a St. Augustine Manor in Cleveland. It's a nursing home. And she said the biggest problem is, you know, the fogging of the mask. So I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but, you know, with severe ADHD and mind going 2,000 miles a second, I figured I could solve that problem. And it basically took me a minute and a half, got some neoprene, put a gasket above the bridge of the nose, and tried it out, and voila. And then I applied for a patent on it, and it's getting crazy. But it works. I mean, it's not perfect. It's like stapling your nose or the gasket to your nose, nothing like that. But it's a simple process. It's American-made, and, you know, I like it.
So this whole process came together in less than 2 minutes. That's amazing to me how all of a sudden you heard this idea and then bam, less than 2 minutes later, there it was. Now, what all goes into this mask? You mentioned that basically instead of when you breathe, the air goes up, it goes out the sides, right?
Well, when you exhale, it's warm air, so it's going to rise. And that's what the moisture from your exhale is going up. And a lot of masks, because they don't seal around your nose properly, they go up above your bridge and up into your glasses. And I've got the same problem because, you know, I've got glasses. And I used to be a cinematographer. I shot TV commercials years ago. I worked on the sidelines of the Browns for 26 and a half years with NFL Films. So I know the problem. And, you know, they have a gasket on an eyepiece of a camera made out of neoprene to keep your eye from fogging while you're looking through the eyepiece. So it's kind of like basically I'm doing the same thing with this, but it's a little simpler.
Now, you guys are based out of North Ridgeville, and a lot of local media outlets have done some stories on you.
Yes,
and I thought it was fascinating because in some of those stories, it was pointed out that, you know, you, of course, are a Navy veteran.
Yes.
And you have figured a lot of these things out in the past. I mean, one of the things you mentioned is that you've learned how to be resourceful, not only in putting these masks together, but you've learned how to be resourceful in so many different ways. How do you think all that factors in not only to the masks, but everything that you guys do at VersaFlex?
Well, I'm a stolen goods product manufacturer. I make motion picture equipment, camera bags, gear bags, sandbags. I also make insulated pizza bags for delivering pizzas. But, you know, I put everything into it. I don't... someone's going to buy my product, I want to make sure it's the best. It's just I don't second guess it. And it is. I've got 30 years plus of making product. And my biological father was an inventor, and I got the same genes than he does. And it's like actually my family line, which I've been finding out recently through, the Ancestry and the other one, 23andMe, that there's a lot of very talented people in that family line, you know. But it's, you know, it's just, it's, I like solving problems. I mean, that's what I do. I solve problems.
You've mentioned as well, you're not necessarily a numbers guy. You're an ideas guy, and you like to see the idea through. One of the fascinating quotes I thought, you talked about how anytime you step onto a ship, right, you figure, you know what, somehow, some way, somebody thought of this idea, like the chair. Somebody thought, hey, you know what? That chair looks ridiculously uncomfortable. How do we get some padding on there? How do we sew it up? How do we get this thing to go up and down? And I've always been fascinated to find out, you know, how the mind works, you know? So in putting all this together, you mentioned that, look, you've kind of got to start somewhere because any room you walk into, you point out an item. Somebody had to think, okay, you know what? This belongs there for a certain reason.
Well, this, even in this room here, look at the foam, how the soundproofing, how it's cut and shaped. just to keep the noise down. The microphone with the screen so you don't get moisture into it. And the handles, anything. It's all trial and error. Somebody had to start somewhere. I mean, it just had an idea, a screw or whatever, you know. I'll start somewhere. But, you know, all the inventions, all the gazillions of inventions out there on this planet, it's still a tip of the iceberg. So, you know, the sky's the limit, and that's exactly what it is. There's always a better product.
Tell me about the operation with the mask. I know that you guys are over in North Ridgeville, and you've detailed to a couple of other media outlets also that you guys don't have the biggest operation in the world, but you guys do have the ability to pump out a good chunk of masks every single day, ones that aren't going to fog up your glasses or your sunglasses. So how does that work? How do you got what's the process of putting the mask together?
Well, the big thing is, you know, our labor is they're not fine-tuned, they're not engineers, you know, it's a sewing business. But I've got around the corner from my shop, I got a company that makes steel wool dyes. So I made dyes that cut the product out of fabric instead of using a straight knife, which is actually could be faster, but it's not actually exact or accurate. So, you know, steel wool dyes. So it takes a little time, but in the long run, everything is perfect. So I have like three different sizes. So it's the girls know when I need this, or this, they can put it together. And the sewing machines, I invested a lot of money in making, having the best machines possible. It wasn't just for the mask. Before that, I'm making a company called X-Tech. I don't know if you follow football. They're the new patented shoulder pads that are out there out of New Jersey. And several Ohio companies are making the padding for those shoulder pads and say it's a patented product. So we're the largest of all those companies putting that stuff together. We do it faster, we do it more accurate, and, you know, it's just some of the other things we do, too, is like for other companies, we put their products together. So right now the motion picture and the still photography business is dead. So I'm lucky the masks came in, and, you know, I'm lucky the football stuff is there because it pays, you know, pays the rent, pays my employees. And that's my number one goal is make sure they're happy because there are not many out there. So it's tight. I mean, things are very tight.
Again, we're talking with Larry Nolan with VersaFlex here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Recently came up with the idea of a mask that doesn't fog up your sunglasses or your glasses. They operate out of North Ridgeville. And, you know, we talked earlier, you were a Navy vet.
Yep, Navy aircraft mechanic. I worked on F-14s.
Okay. That was my next question. Where? What exactly? Aircraft mechanic. Yeah. Holy smokes. Tell me about that experience.
Well, it was a challenge because I went to Rockford High School, and I wasn't a very good student, as I say, for ADHD. But, you know, I was good at mechanics. I was good at welding. And I joined the Navy to become an aircraft mechanic. And our squadron that I was in, VF-213, got brand new F-14s right from the factory. So it was everything was brand new. Everything was learn as you go. And, in fact, the Shah of Iran had 90 aircraft, and he got all the parts before we did. But it was great. It was just a fantastic learning experience, especially when you're at sea. And, you know, mishaps happen at sea. A plane might hit another plane, knock out a wing, and you got to repair that plane on a spot on a pitch and deck. And you learn a lot. You learn about camaraderie. You learn a lot of stuff. I mean, it's just using your imagination. I even came up with two what they call beneficial suggestions for the F-14, the small things. You know, I was 19 at the time, but it helped keep there's a small hubcap over the nuts on the bearings, excuse me. And that kept them from flying out and going into the jet intake. And, you know, I got like $250 for that, you know, little invention. But it's, as I say, you sit there, you look at the carrier, and some guy had to draw it, had to create it, and even the plane, every part in that plane, every rivet, every screw had to be drawn. I mean, they started designing it in 67, and it didn't come out to what, 73, 74, when they started manufacturing them. So it's amazing stuff.
Wow, very interesting stuff. And I guess what ends up being the less interesting stuff, but still certainly necessary, when you put an idea like this for the mask together, you want to make sure that nobody takes that idea and decides to run with it. And I know that that's certainly a battle you're dealing with right now, too, because, look, everybody's kind of looking for some kind of a solution, right? Because we're all living a different life than we were about 6 months ago. How tough has that process been?
Well, it's I found a good lawyer. She's out of Oberlin, Kathy Perales, Perales Law, and she's a patent attorney. Having a patent, just and being the first one to register this for a patent pending, doesn't protect me from anybody. It just makes the courts know and be aware that I'm out there first. I was the first one to submit it. And now, because of the way the politics have been lately in the last 25 years, you got to defend your patent, and you got to have a lot of money. It takes around $150,000 to $250,000 just to defend a patent. So, you know, I've already been knocked off already 4 weeks ago by the Chinese because there's bots everywhere on Facebook, everywhere. So they were selling it, and Kathy put a cease and desist order on some company in the state of Washington, and they took it off the internet. But it was, luckily they paid attention because technically, you know, they could tell me to go pound salt, you know.
That's an easy thing to overlook, too, isn't it? When you put this great idea together, it's crazy how things like that sometimes do get overlooked, but it's a small detail that could certainly blow up. You mentioned earlier, you spent many years in the Browns sideline, right? You worked for NFL Films. Could you have imagined in your wildest dreams that you'd be sitting here today trying to come up with an idea for a mask in these times? Who would have thought?
Well, not so much a mask. You know, I had an invention when I got started. That's what VersaFlex it means. It's versatile and flexible. I created a reflector. Now, the reflector for photography has already been out there. I don't know if you've ever seen those collapsible reflectors that the photographers use to bounce light. Okay. Well, I came up with a jacket that fits over that reflector, so makes it five reflectors in one. And I was selling them at Dodd Camera in downtown Cleveland, and a photographic company out of Youngstown took that idea and took it to China because all their stuff was made in China, and they ran with it. Now the whole world has them, millions of them all over the planet. So, but I didn't make a dime. So when this thing came out, I wanted to protect myself a little bit better than I did last time. I was pretty naive. Even at 36 years old, I was pretty naive. So,
well, sticking with the sidelines, too. My guess is you saw and you heard a lot of interesting things on that Cleveland Browns sideline.
Yes, and I also felt that one with Beer Day when they threw all the bottles of beer on the sidelines and everybody had to leave.
Oh, Bottlegate, yeah.
Bottlegate, I was there. And, you know, I was there at the end of the last game of the Browns and at the old stadium when they were throwing the chairs over the side. And I'm in the third base dugout. And it's all these big rows of chairs that come crashing down. And I'm like, oh, my God. I love Cleveland. they're vicious people, but they're honest, vicious people, you know.
Holy smoke. Yeah. So I've got to ask you about Bottlegate because – that's one of those moments, you know, had it not been for 10-cent beer night, I feel like we talk a lot more about Bottlegate. So, obviously, some of it you probably can't share because it might not be safe for us to air here due to the FCC regulations and such. But of some of it that might be appropriate for you to share, what are some of the things you could tell us you experienced when you were down there in the middle of all that for Bottlegate?
Well, we were by the when it really started, we were filming over at the opposing team's tunnel where they go in, and they had that call. It was like 2 to 3 minutes before the end of the game, and it just rained plastic bottles. Now, when he first started into that stadium in '99, and I saw those bottles, I thought they were glass. I said, "This is going to be a problem. I mean, a real problem." And you know, because people put their beers on top of the wall. I was loading film down below, and they would spill beer on me with my hands in the bag trying to load a camera. So, you know, it's just, it rained. I mean, it rained plastic that day, and we were soaked. I mean, we were just soaked. And then we go back in and unload everything, try to put it away, figure the game was over. They had like a minute and 27 seconds left to play, and they said the team's going back out to finish the game without a crowd. So we had to reload the cameras, get back out there and film an empty stadium, you know, which is now they're doing it, you know, but we did it first, you know, back in that day.
Wow.
It was wild. Well,
fond memories of Bottlegate for all of us, I'm sure. That's crazy. I mean, that's so interesting how everybody's got a different perspective on Bottlegate, how it went down. And it's even here we are, what, this has been about almost 20 years later, right? Bottlegate's about 20 years ago?
Yeah, it was in
It was, I want to say it was early 2000s, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2001, 2002. I mean, it was early into the, you know, the new stadium. And because I think they got rid of the plastic bottles right after. It was all paper, plastic cups after that. They still threw still throw plastic cups with half of it in there. They'll wing it, you know. So as long as the beer stays, you know, in the bottom of the cup, it's a weapon, you know.
Would you say that was probably the craziest thing that you witnessed down on the sidelines of your time being on the sideline with the Browns?
Well, I think the craziest thing was the last game at the old stadium when they tore all the sheets out. They threw everything out. I mean, we're on the sidelines over by there's a picture of me, too, I found not too long ago of me standing there holding a magazine of film. But we were over in the
the dugout, right?
The dugout, but this was where the
you're in the tunnel?
No. There's the old stadium where there were all the fans were on the bleachers. What the
dog pound. Okay.
And they're throwing batteries, dog biscuits, everything at the media everywhere, but they wouldn't throw it at us because we would turn around and film the crowd. Hey, everybody get happy, you know. But they were throwing Penn White batteries. They're whipping this stuff all over the place. And it's just like, you guys are, what are you doing? You know, it's like, it was nuts. But, you know, everybody's trash, you know.
Well, they granted you guys immunity because you guys were giving them publicity,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Exactly. It was it was funny, you know.
Perks of the job, right? When you're holding the camera, you're holding audio equipment, whatever the case may be, sometimes even the craziest of fans will leave you alone.
I've gotten girls who lift up their shirts and stuff like that at the stadium. Just, you know, they were escorted out after that. But and it was just, you know, wow. There are some perks. There are some perks. I mean, I had some good ones.
Wow. Wild times out at the old stadium for sure. No question about that. Well, Larry, this is a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming on. I know that you guys have different designs for the masks too, right? You've got Steelers, you've got Browns designs, you've got the North Ridgeville design on there, Rocky River. You mentioned you're a Rocky River alumnus.
Alumni, yes. I did the, what do you call it, the 13-year plan for a 12-year school system. You know, so
things turned out okay, right?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay. You know, I take a couple medications. So I'm fine. Yeah.
But, well, good stuff. Larry, we appreciate you coming to
the
studio.
Thank you very much.
This is a lot of fun. Certainly a lot of fun. Again, Larry Nolan with VersaFlex. If you're looking for a mask that isn't going to fog up your glasses, Larry Nolan's the man you need to see. Make sure you see him, VersaFlex, over in North Ridgeville.
On Root Road. And we also do shirts, hats, and we make sports gear, anything you need, American-made. Anything with a needle in it can go up there. I just don't do clothing.
Okay. All right. Very nice. Well, we need to step aside and take a break. We've got the UH Elyria Medical Center, You and Your Health segment coming up next here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.